Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 621. This is Kevin DeFrango, and coming back after an absence, Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
New Year, same stuff for the most part.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I did not expect a flip of the calendar to solve all the ills of the world. It was kind of strange having the it was nice actually having a vacation over the holidays. That is I have never had that before in my working life, so that was kind of nice to have for the first time ever, honestly. But it was more relaxing than just being off and going, oh shit, I don't have a job. Like, that's, I might have done about the same things that I was doing both times, but there's definitely a slightly different mindset when you know you eventually have to go back to a job.
Yeah, no. I get it.
Unfortunately, Jeremy and I had the unfortunate experience of doing the double Brody Lee show, last week, because, I mean, we did talk about some other stuff, so that definitely was, not a normal show. This, unfortunately, we're pulling back in the wrestling. Into the Stunt Granny Audio world. It's the turn of the year. It's Royal Rumble time, kids. It's time to get serious, right? That flip of the calendar is going to do everything. And the flip of the calendar's probably biggest news is that Goldberg...
took us right back to 1999.
is back yet again. Which, I mean, that part in and of itself, I was not surprised by.
No,
like, the way that he has talked and the way that they left the last match always made me feel like he had more matches left in the tank.
And it was thought it was going to be with Roman Reigns. Even Goldberg himself has, is not... You know, kept our tribal chief's name out of his mouth as recently as a few weeks ago. So a change was definitely made in whatever plans there were going to be, that Goldberg would show up on Raw to challenge Drew McIntyre instead. And honestly, if you're gonna do it, Raw and Drew McIntyre's reign is who needs the help. Roman Reigns has Kevin Owens still going. He's got other potential challengers in the, you know, who are actually on the full-time roster in the offings.
Yeah.
Raw's a mess right now. I don't want to say if I'm exaggerating, saying it's as bad as it's ever been, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, there are some positives on Raw, but for the most part, it's been a rough go of it recently.
Yeah, it has, and I don't know if Drew McIntyre has regained the momentum he had before he lost the title the first time. But even if he had beaten Randy Orton that third time and had one continuous title reign, we're still running out of challengers, viable challengers for him. And it looked like they were gonna run with Sheamus. I don't really know what's going on with that right now. I thought the turn would have happened by now.
Yeah, that one seems really strange. Like, they played it up so much, and I would think that if they're not going to pull the trigger, they'd stay buddy-buddy, but they weren't really together this week or last week in any major capacity.
Well, they did backstage segments. But, yeah, it's... Now, Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus is not a WrestleMania match.
Oh.
So, if there's one more paper between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, I guess that's the one you got to do it, because no, Sheamus in 2021 is not a viable WrestleMania challenge.
No, but he would work for Rumble, because I mean, though some matches may have stolen the show, the main event is always the Rumble itself. So the matchups are either kind of, which I guess is another reason why it's not surprising they're doing Goldberg at Royal Rumble against Drew.
Yeah.
Because they do kind of have some marquee type main events like that at the Royal Rumble, but it's still not, again, like, I would either think that if they, I mean, would you, honestly, the first thing I thought about when you started talking about the Tribal Chief was the fact that they were feeding Drew McIntyre to Goldberg so that he can get back at Roman Reigns.
You know what? If they want to do a champion versus champion title for title at WrestleMania. I guess that's the way to get there. I don't know what you do with the result of the men's rumble at that point, but so we'll see on that one, but Goldberg is so tricky because he's Goldberg.
Oh.
When you bring him in, he's not supposed to lose, and he loses quite a bit.
And I guess that was the other thing when it wasn't even something with the clumsy introduction, which we can get to at some point, too. But, yeah, like, Goldberg kind of needs a win. You know, so he isn't losing all of these recent matches. Like, it's been a minute since, cause what, he beat Lesnar the first time, and then he hasn't really won much since, has
he? Well, of course he did beat The Fiend.
Oh, yeah.
But then he lost to Braun Strowman in the match that wasn't supposed to be what happened. And so that's, I mean, I don't think they're actually, I mean, there's obviously been a change. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. I don't believe that Goldberg is winning the title at the Royal Rumble. I think that Drew McIntyre will retain.
I agree with your
out of the realm of possibility.
I guess I do agree with your main point in and of the fact that Drew could use this win. Roman Reigns in no way needs to beat Goldberg.
No, he does not. The whole attraction of Reigns versus Goldberg is the Battle of the Spears. That's, you know, the two guys who use the same finish. You know, that's really it for them. So, of course, McIntyre and Goldberg don't even really have that going for them. But, you know what, for a 5 to 7 minute match, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yes, McIntyre could use a big win. It was the whole, Goldberg's reasoning for challenging McIntyre was really faulty because Drew McIntyre didn't do any of those things Goldberg said that he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the first time the WWE has bent the truth.
Showed no one any disrespect from Hogan on down. I don't understand it. Meanwhile, Randy Orton's running around backstage threatening to light them on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed that we did not see a WWE legend on fire by the end of the night.
Well, the only legend who was on fire was Mark Henry when he watched Keith Lee do that Spanish fly off the top rope and thinking, why the fuck is he doing that? Oh, him and Big Show look so just in shock and disappointment. It's hilarious.
Um, Fair enough. That was kind of wild for him to. It keeps on making me laugh that ever since the big internet stink about Keith Lee going down to be trained by Drew Gulak to be more of a big man style. Like, I feel like he's busted out even more of the high flying stuff since then. Like, I don't know if he's doing that just to prove the internet wrong, or if it was planned all along and it just happens to look that way.
I do think that he was having a really good big man power match with Drew McIntyre, and once again, it didn't fit the rest of the match, and it only got a two count. If a man that size
Oh.
is going to do that move, it should be the finish. I know
Yeah.
I sound like Jeremy Mays right there, but I don't really believe that. I'm like, just because you can do something, maybe it doesn't mean you should. And it was a big match, arguably the biggest match Keith Lee has had in WWE, but at the same time, it just didn't fit what else they were doing. And Drew McIntyre kicked out and won after the Claymore, which is simply just a boot to the face.
Yeah, there is definitely a suspension of disbelief when it comes to Drew McIntyre's finish. Like, there is not a whole lot special about it.
It looks great though.
Yeah.
In a real fight, that would be the end.
Yeah. Agreed. I'd be more worried about a Kinshasa type maneuver. You could definitely use a V trigger as a finisher if you wanted to.
Don't really
But
much have to worry about someone grabbing by the neck and flipping you
topper.
off the bar, and you going with him somehow. Doing a perfect landing.
That is definitely a move that the first time I saw it, I was like, holy shit. And now it
It's like
is,
Canadian Destroyer, yeah.
yeah, you're just like, you just need to stop doing this now. Like, okay, I got it. It was cool when you just first started watching wrestling, but man, it's passed you by, man. Like, I know that you're like 10 years younger than me, but.
When more and more people start doing it, when guys Keith Lee start doing it, you see it over and over again. It exposes the physics of it as being impossible without cooperation. Like with the Destroyer, like Petey Williams and TNA would absolutely snap that off that Destroyer like really quick. Like he that was his move. He was the master of it.
Yeah.
Now we've got guys just jockeying for position. Obviously, giving their opponent the smack on the back or whatever. Okay, now it's time we're going. And moving in slow motion. It's like, no. That's not how this is supposed to go. Even if you can argue you should use it.
I will give Adam Cole some credit for not. He tries to help out the physics because he generally does do it a little bit different. He does it differently than Petey Williams. In that Petey, kind of like really got his core into it. Adam Cole uses that little hop to make it look like off the middle rope, I
Off the
think,
rope,
usually, to make
yeah.
it look
His
like
really fast
he's
motion.
getting some more momentum to be able to pull it off. Like, at least he covers for it. Most of the people, I'm with you, most of the people are just like, oh yeah, we're jockeying for position, and all of a sudden, we get a power bomb basically out of it. So yeah, it's yeah, that it, It was not a move that was needed, but I mean, I would think that at this point, either the agent working on the match is just like, guys, come on, this is just kind of silly, or they just were okay with it, you know?
Yeah,
So,
I mean,
somewhat approved of it, but. Yeah, I agree. It just looks a little bit silly in a big man match that was going well.
it still ends up a really good match, and there would be an argument to be made that, you could have saved that match for the Royal Rumble, and it would have been a fine Royal Rumble title defense for Drew McIntyre. But that's not the direction they're going. Keith Lee will get to I assume be in the Rumble itself, which hopefully he can have a good performance there, if not win the whole thing. Although the finish of that match did not leave much room for Keith Lee challenging Drew McIntyre again anytime soon. Granted, the Royal Rumble is a game changer, of course, but it definitely felt like, yeah, this was a quick visit to the main event, and it's not anything that's going to sustain.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like he had it, they had a good long match. The timestamp I'm looking at is 21:15. But it was a clean finish. There isn't really any reason for him to be challenging Drew McIntyre since it is babyface on babyface anyway.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, like it's probably a good place for Keith Lee to, for Keith Lee to do something like pull the best one that I can think of is a Kane, where you get to eliminate a bunch of guys, and you look great, but you eventually get tossed and you kind of get a bump out of the Rumble, but you're not the winner either.
Yeah, I can definitely see that role for him. But that does beg the question right now, since we're on the Raw side of things, it does not feel like that Royal Rumble winner, WrestleMania challenger, is there on the Raw side right now. It's just, I don't know. I don't know who you would. I mean, once again, obviously, the Royal Rumble, you can obviously have someone from SmackDown win it. And they're definitely certainly more set up.
Well, and I mean, it will be interesting. There is always a little, even though they just had the draft, I would not be surprised to see someone come back over because I hadn't really thought of it in those terms about who else there is for McIntyre as far as challengers go. I would imagine that they'll do something with the Miz still having the briefcase at some point. But, I mean, that could wait for a while longer.
That could wait for a lot longer, as far as
Yeah,
I'm concerned.
like, so,
Feel
yeah, I don't
confident
think
in that.
that's one that gets the trigger gets pulled before WrestleMania. Like, it almost seems silly to pull it before WrestleMania at this juncture. So, yeah, like, singles wise, I'm trying to think, like, unless they move up a Bobby Lashley, I'm trying to think of who else they'd really have on the roster. Because I'm even scanning through the results of Raw, and I think Lashley is the only one that stands out to me that could work. Because have they done AJ and Drew? Yeah, they did
Yeah,
already.
they just did that. Yeah, they just did that. Yeah,
Yeah, so.
and they did Lashley early in Drew McIntyre's run as well, before the Hurt Business one.
Well, and I think that would be a good reason to be able to revisit this one because,
You can definitely revisit it. Yeah.
yeah, like there are definitely times I feel like on this show in general we're like, oh my God, you've done that so often. But because it was I feel like it was a fairly short feud. I do think that it could be revisited, especially with the Hurt Business being in the mix. At this juncture. So.
Yeah, we certainly do it. And of course, there's always the possibility that old Brock Lesnar's gonna make his return for WrestleMania season as well.
Yeah, I mean that would definitely be an interesting one for sure if Brock Lesnar were to pop up. I guess it wouldn't completely surprise me. It would be an opponent that works for McIntyre, but that's another one, kind of like Goldberg. You've had Lesnar lose it how many of the recent WrestleManias? Like two to Seth Rollins and one to Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, well, the second Seth Rollins loss was at SummerSlam.
Oh, that's right.
My God, they blew it with Seth to babyface Tyler Rain twice. That's right,
Yes,
because they put him
they
with
did.
Becky, and he was basically playing second fiddle to her. So then they had to have Brock destroy him again, and then have him overcome Brock again, and then they did the Fiend stuff. They made him look like a complete coward.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn. Better year for them creatively than 2019, I think. Wow. That's amazing to say.
Yeah, that would be funny to do some more recent callbacks like that to really analyze how things were. Oh man, even doing this show weekly, it's not something that that I can gauge very well from time to time.
Yeah, no, I just brought it up and was like, wow. Then they, it's a total, aside here, but God, they blew it with
Yeah,
that. Yeah.
so I mean, it's it I guess it's kind of interesting. Like there, other than Lashley, there really aren't a lot of names on Raw for McIntyre to go up against right now. Like, I doubt that you'd see it would seem very premature to me to throw Omos in the mix for
Right.
a WrestleMania level match for McIntyre.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you could do almost like he's a complete unknown. Just have him win the Royal Rumble, and he doesn't wrestle another match. We don't know. You don't know what he's got. You don't.
Yeah. I
you
mean
don't
that
know what
is
he can do.
true. He pulled out a nice round kick this week, so
That was pretty damn spectacular, yes.
you know, who knows? Maybe he does have a lot more in store than any of us know.
Yeah, they've completely kept that under wraps as far as really what he can do other than the kick, 'cause he really doesn't interfere much. He really doesn't do much at all.
Yeah, he is generally just intimidating, and they really have not had too many physical interactions for him to go on. Like he's kind of been involved in the match, but he really doesn't enforce a whole lot.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Which you know, hey, it's fine. I'm good with leaving the mystery there. Like, why not? So. But yeah, I guess I just don't see him though as
Nah,
a soon to be challenger.
I don't see it either. No, I don't. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I don't see that is where they're going. But I also don't see anywhere. I don't see the direction at all.
Yeah, it because yeah, I guess to just revisit the Drew Goldberg stuff, like I guess I don't see it stretching out till WrestleMania. Like that just seems completely unnecessary.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Goldberg, I think they said signed to like a deal for another year or two, which has him wrestling twice a year. I don't know if you necessarily need to have Goldberg at WrestleMania. Save it for another show down the line. No, don't.
Oh.
If you don't have the right the right opponent and the right story there. They decided to pull the trigger now. I assume it was originally going to be Roman Reigns. All signs pointed to that, but they have pivoted.
Yeah. I guess speaking of the head of the table, he was not party to a match this past week, but he was party to maybe one of the bigger events. He is continuing that feud solidly with Kevin Owens after tossing him off the I don't know, I guess there are actual bleachers there. The regular seating concourse.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you would call that platform he threw him off. But yeah, no, it obviously they really, really like this Kevin Owens feud. I thought it was going to be pretty much over after the cage match, but I mean, they obviously said that they obviously like it. They want to keep it going. It's getting a little repetitive of Kevin Owens not getting anything over on Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, so they are definitely going to have to do something with that. And I would suggest doing that as soon as this coming Friday on SmackDown. Really get some serious momentum behind Kevin Owens, you know, in physically and not just verbally.
I think they're justifying it by going, oh, well, he's winning the matches, but when you consistently get your ass handed to you after the match, just like you normally say on commentary, it's kind of you won the battle, but you lost the war, however you want to, he doesn't look like the real winner after this. Like, there are any number of cliched lines that they use to poo-poo the winners of matches in certain circumstances. And, it's definitely holding true for Kevin Owens currently. He's just getting hammered left and right, and he just kind of keeps on coming back like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, no, and that is what they're kind of selling this on, that, you know, Owens won't die, he won't give up. He won't grovel at the feet of the tribal chief. Granted, Kevin Owens has lost these two matches to Roman Reigns, but it was a TLC match and then a cage match. Roman Reigns still has not pinned or made Kevin Owens submit, so you can certainly play that up to get through one more title match at the Royal Rumble, which, again, it's been a good feud. It's getting a little repetitive with the beatdowns of Kevin Owens at the end of every SmackDown, with him getting nothing really. But
yeah.
But once they work on that and get the match, you know, set up for the Royal Rumble, it's very good. It's a good feud to have. Kevin Owens is. This Kevin Owens is the perfect babyface to feud with Roman Reigns. Yes, you know, the combination of Dusty Rhodes and Stone Cold Steve Austin, is the working man's babyface.
Yeah.
It really works. I think that, you know, a few things maybe one or two things they can do to keep. Make sure to keep this going and not feeling any more repetitive. And yeah, it should be another hell of a match for them at Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what other matches, because there are a lot of matches that I feel like they were setting up for this coming week's SmackDown. I feel like there are some.
They're gonna do. They got a Intercontinental title match with Big E and Apollo.
Cruise, oh, yes.
And then another tag title match with the Street Profits against Ziggler and Rude.
So I guess it was kind of interesting, but I mean, Royal Rumble isn't until the 31st, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's not until the 31st. So yeah, we still got plenty of time. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that is the one thing to maybe mention. Not that I think that we'll see anything but Goldberg hype for Drew McIntyre, but maybe the WWE could, we will see if they will, work on an opponent in the meantime. I guess I am liking the Big E push on SmackDown these days to go to the more positives of the show since we moved over to Roman Reigns anyway. Your thoughts on Mr. E carrying the Intercontinental Championship? Because I believe you've been gone since he captured that.
Yeah, I was gone, but I'm always watching. Good. I'm glad they pulled the trigger, and glad they did it on Christmas night. Get that feel good moment out of there. Intercontinental title is a good first step for Big E. Getting a big push going forward. It's good. Enjoy seeing a long reign for him as Intercontinental Champion. Interesting to run with the Apollo Crews match as a babyface match on SmackDown, but it should be a fine match between the two of them. There's no reason to take the title off of Big E at this point. So,
oh right, yeah, I think that's one of those foregone conclusion matches, but it also seems like that's Apollo Crews's station in life now. I think after the most recent flash right before the Hurt Business beatdowns, I thought that they might go somewhere with him, but it does not feel like he's going to get that chance ever to really run with it. I just want to note on SmackDown, I'm not sure that I'm sure about the match itself, but Billy Kay cracked me up to no end with her shenanigans during the Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan versus Natalya and Tamina match. She is just a treasure and should be like R-Truth and just have a role with the company in perpetuity until she decides otherwise, because she is entertaining as all hell, even if she may not be a very good professional wrestler.
She is entertaining, and she is entertaining. She is hilarious, and hilarious on purpose, unlike her former tag team partner, Peyton Royce, trying to take the natural selection. but yeah, no. I mean, Billy Kay is the star of that team. I mean, I think that the image that Peyton Royce was the worker of that, was the great worker of that team, or even the good worker of that team, has been shattered some, or that there's all that much more to Peyton Royce than what we've seen. Billy Kay is the star. And yes, the R-Truth comparison is spot on, and that is a position that can achieve you some serious longevity. It's not saying that it's guaranteed to be forever. I mean they released Santino, they released Hornswoggle, so it's not entirely foolproof.
Right.
Although R-Truth seems like he's just alive at this point. But yeah
it's
Billy Kay's absolutely phenomenal.
It's pretty crazy that some of the legends that came back. I'm like, doesn't R-Truth predate Alicia Fox? Was what was running through my mind on when I was watching Raw, just as a random thought. And she's coming back as a legend, and R-Truth is still on the roster. Like, I mean, R-Truth got on the roster the first time, like, I want to say in 99 or something like that. Like, because I want to say I was still up at Kent, or I was moving down here to Columbus when he, around the time that he popped up. And that's a long ass time to be around anywhere. Especially professional wrestling, and even with a stop in TNA. Good on him. But yeah, Billy Kay. Anyway, I don't care about the match itself, I don't think. I guess I'm okay with Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan being positioned as a team, but I guess at some point they also need to win the tag team titles for that to mean anything.
Yeah,
So.
they absolutely do, and they should have been Ruby, Sasha and Bayley. It's and all the stuff with Nia and Shayna and now Charlotte and Asuka, just absolutely pointless stuff, and it hurts. It hurts not just the women, the tag team division, but the entirety of the Raw women's division. So yeah, no. Riot Squad should definitely be the tag team champions there, and doing a thing where Billie Kay is almost forcing herself on them as their manager, even though they don't really want her there. That could certainly be some comedy.
Yeah, like it seems like the WWE, one way or the other, like she's just the odd couple. Like her with Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, to me, in a lot of ways, would be even funnier than her with Natalya and Tamina.
Oh yeah, but by far, yes.
So, man, I would love it if they did that, but I don't think that's gonna happen. We shall see, though, I suppose. But it's kind of a footnote with all things together, really. It was interesting. I didn't even think about it, but they had back-to-back women's tag team matches.
That they did, yes.
Because we had Sasha and Bianca against Bayley and Carmella up next, but it was really mostly a backdrop for the continued Banks and Carmella storyline.
Yeah, it's kind of, they had a very, very good match at TLC, so I hope, and with nothing else really to do at Royal Rumble, yeah, I guess you might as well run it back. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it's not never terribly surprising if the December pay-per-view goes well that it rolls into the Rumble. Again, we already talked about it. The main events aren't always the most important things, and even the women's championship matches aren't necessarily the most important thing since there's a women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, no. I mean, there really is only room for four, maybe five other matches on the Royal Rumble card. It's gonna be interesting. This year's Royal Rumble is gonna be interesting because you got the two Rumbles. Those bell to bell take, even without the pre and post match stuff, to take an hour apiece, and they've been trying to get these shows done in orderly in timely fashion. So this one will probably might be a little longer. You probably don't need to add many more matches beyond the two men's singles and the two women's singles, and then do the two rumbles, and that's about it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll still probably go in the range of 3.5, 4 hours. That's fine for the Royal Rumble. But of course, of course, the Royal Rumble and was starting to get, move on into that 5 hour territory. That was not
Well,
not the
yeah,
best.
there's a tipping point. Like, I have appreciated the WWE having shorter pay-per-views. In mass, recently. Like, and I think actually I saw someone mention that, like, if you just watched the WWE pay-per-views, and I even think we've talked about it this past year, like, you'd probably be fine with the WWE product. Sometimes the week in and week out stuff is the problem, but the pay-per-views generally were pretty good, I felt like, last year. So yeah, this silliness that we do sometimes is kind of crazy talk.
Yeah.
Because yeah, there's a lot going on there. What else happened here? Oh, I completely forgot, I guess. Because I watched Cliff Notes' version of SmackDown, what did Sonya Deville pop up to do?
Walk through a hallway.
Oh, that was the big...
That's it, and Michael Cole just said she's been reinstated. No big storyline, reason for anything, just she's just reinstated. Which is fine, I guess. Mandy Rose isn't even on SmackDown anymore, so you don't even really need to continue that storyline. I guess that back in the day, that is how they used to do the loser leaves town type stipulations, that it was never supposed to be forever. It could be for 3 months, it could be for a year, what have you, and then you're eligible to return. They never said that. I mean, but
right.
But it's fine. I'm glad to see her back. She was building some momentum before all that awfulness happened to her. So hopefully she can certainly get that back.
Oh, did she take the time off because what? Did she have a home invasion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, which... That's still going to be going to trial, but she is back, you know, but before all that is resolved.
Well, no, that's one of those ones where I feel like, you know, and wrestling doesn't exactly announce the injuries. So, you know, I guess it was one of those things where I actually knew what she had gone through, but I had kind of forgotten about it and didn't even think about why she wasn't on TV. Like, I kind of forgot about the stipulation. I forgot, of course, until we were talking here about the home invasion, which is pretty crazy event to go through.
Yeah, very, very crazy event to go through. I'm sure she needed to take the time, and they gave it to her. Yep, so that's good. Breaking news from Impact. I don't know if it came across your screen. A new match has been added to the Impact Wrestling Hard to Kill pay-per-view on January 16th. Ethan Page versus the Karate Man. Think about that for a second.
I saw a segment with him. I did not realize that that's what was going on because the sound was not on.
Oh God! They're gonna do those camera tricks like the soap operas with the twins, aren't they?
Yeah, they have to. I mean, there's no other way to pull.
That's what's,
There's no other way to have one person pull off two roles. Like, it's one thing to have the only closest equivalent I can think of. What's his name? When Tyler Breeze wore like four different costumes in a match. Cause wasn't he like a janitor and like a Mrs. Doubtfire type character?
You're stumping me here.
Yes.
I don't know. Didn't him and Fandango both do that? Like,
Yeah.
Wasn't like a tag team title match too.
Yeah, because it was like, oh my god, this has no. It was one of those moments where this match has no right to be good, but this was the most enjoyable thing I've seen in a long time. Like, I'm, you know, the wrestling itself might not have been like, you know, the best wrestling match, but it was one of those matches that ended up being so entertaining because it was so kind of ludicrous that it won everyone over. Like, I feel like that really got Breezango over in the scope of things. But anywho, that's the only thing I can think of with Ethan Page versus Karate Man to get back to the topic that we had originally bounced off of.
No, it just came across my Twitter feed, and our good friend Steve is not very happy about it. Fuck this company. Is his exact quote. Oh, and that's the show that Kenny Omega's main eventing. Boy, AEW must feel really happy about letting this happen.
Yeah, Jeremy was trying to talk me into the finer points of Impact, and I really just wasn't having a whole lot of it. Wow. Because like he was trying to tell me that the moose thing was a good thing, and that if we had caught the storyline, it would make more sense. And I'm like, that was, I think, the only one that I'm like, I'm willing to give you some rope on this one, sir. But this other stuff was just straight up trash. And if it weren't for the fact that I had the sound off, I would not be watching Impact currently.
Yeah,
There are
well.
f far better things to really dig into. This is
No,
not a whiff sound happenstance.
I have definitely gotten to a point in my life where I do not need to watch every wrestling show there is on anywhere. You know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, you know, teenager, you know, early adult, you know, anytime a wrestler appeared on any TV show, even if I never watched the show, I would seek it out and watch it. I watch anything wrestling related. Now at my age, no. I watch WWE stuff. I watch AEW stuff. I'm not all that interested in New Japan right now. And then there's, you know, you got your companies like Impact and ROH and MLW. They're doing their shows in empty rooms with just four black walls and a ring in the middle of it, and I just like, I ain't doing that again. I'm not going back to that. No. WWE has the Thunderdome. AEW has their outdoor venue that actually allows real people in. Those are the shows I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
I need
everyone
something fun
needs to
there.
relocate to Florida. Although, is Impact still taping? Where are they taping these days?
Think it's Nashville.
Okay.
I think even though they're owned by a Canadian company now, they've still maintained a headquarters in Nashville, or I was prepared for it.
It does make a little bit of sense since the vast majority of your talent is American
Yeah,
to
you can't get
work.
people in and out. Yeah,
Yeah.
you really can't get people in and out. Because
So.
unfortunately, the Canadian government, unlike the state of Florida, has not deemed professional wrestling as essential.
You know, it was kind of funny during your little thing there. I was almost going to ask you if you had watched any Wrestle Kingdom this week, just as general wrestle
I
talk.
just not interested at all. It's too much of the same stuff that was going on just last year, and yeah, just nothing tickled my fancy enough to re-up with New Japan World after I let it go. Have you watched any of it?
No, I haven't yet. I do kind of have it on the docket to try to get to, because it is always one of those things that takes place. Because they always do it on, like, because it's, I'm trying to think of, because doesn't it normally take place on a, it's an,
it's January 4th every year.
Oh, that's what it is. It's always January 4th.
So been, yeah, dating back to, what's it, it's like
1992. Okay.
Oh, the Wrestle Kingdom branding didn't come in to like 15 years ago, or, yeah, because it's the 15th one of those. But there was always a show on January 4th dating back to 92.
Okay, well, that's, I always think to myself that it's never the same day of the week. Like, you know, any American kind of activity, it's like, hey, or even WrestleMania, it's the, usually either the last Sunday in March or the first Sunday in April. They yeah. prefer the April date, but they have moved it around for Easter occasionally.
Yeah. There's significance to the date of January 4th in Japanese culture.
Okay.
It goes beyond wrestling.
Okay, so, well, and I guess that's what I was thinking to myself. Like, I was trying, I think that it just happened to fall on a weekend last year.
Okay. Yeah, what it is, okay, let's see. Everything, like, almost everything in Japan closes between December 29th and January 4th. Just, that's a full national holiday.
Oh, okay.
So January 4th is the last night of that.
Ah, okay, that makes a great deal of sense then.
But of course, New Japan now has added this, the second night that ends up on the 5th. And then...
Yeah. You know, hey, these things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am kind of interested to see what's happened. I have done a terrible job of trying to keep up with them. It's just, you know, it's tough. As soon as AEW came along, it's become tough to fit in any more wrestling.
That extra 2 hours and the extra hour of NXT really does make a difference in what you can fit into your life, yeah.
Yeah.
Fit in your life.
Yeah, that's, and I think Jeremy and I talked about it a little bit, or maybe as you and I, that the crop of people over at New Japan hasn't changed much in 3 to 5 years.
No, it really hasn't, especially last year, because last year they did the mini tournament deal with, you know, three of the four of the people involved in essentially this year's mini tournament deal. Because last year it was Okada versus Ibushi and Naito versus Jay White, with the winners facing each other the next night.
Oh,
and then this
yes.
year it was Naito versus Ibushi with the winner facing Jay White the next night, with Okada in the second from the top match against Will Ospreay on night one.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that really isn't helping. Like, that's...
Yeah, no,
I'm trying to say that it's even... Somehow it's more stale than WWE?
It is definitely more stale, because... And they should have done something about it. I mean, New Japan took the extra time. They didn't do shows for 3 or 4 months before returning. And then they came back and they tried the evil push, which, and then gave up on that fairly quickly. Which, I don't know if I can necessarily blame them for it. It was, the problem is, the next guys down from, you know, Naito, Ibushi, Okada, and Jay White are like Evil and Sonata, and those are guys who, yeah, they were the big tag team for a while, but they would also be used on like the B shows to challenge for like the IWGP or Intercontinental Championship, and then they would lose all the time.
Yeah,
and and then you bring them up, and it's just like, this isn't working. They're having, I guess, more success with trying to push Will Ospreay as a heavyweight after a successful run in the junior heavyweight division, because he didn't spend all that time losing to people. But yeah, so it was just like, and then, so then when we get around to, you know, Tokyo Dome time, yeah, it is the same guys who were there in that position the year previous, and a collection of the same guys who were in top spots for years and years. They've downplayed Tanahashi a lot. Obviously, Kenny Omega's gone, which led to an even bigger role for Jay White in the New Japan universe, and he's certainly polarizing to say the least.
I've got to admit, I feel like I saw a lot of positives from my end of Twitter, at least the little bit that I've seen about new Wrestle Kingdom reaction.
Yeah, and it's going to, because you're always gonna have the people who, but then I read like the Night 2 main event ended up going 48 minutes. I was like, oh, that's a long match, and it followed like two or three other matches that went over 20, and it's like, oh, that's a little much for me, and I enjoy the New Japan style and everything. But Jay White, cut that thing in half, and I'm there.
They really dig into those matches really heavy.
They really do, and it's not like they haven't had good, you know, or I should say great, really long matches in the past in New Japan, and it is what they do. It's their calling card.
Yeah,
you know, they are their promotion that does that. So I gotta say that's fine. But this year, it just didn't have anything that was really calling my name. After the G1 this year, last year, I guess, just to say now, I just looked at their upcoming lineups for November and December. I'm just like, there's just nothing here. So I was always going to, you know, cancel my subscription to New Japan World for a couple of months and come back for the Dome, but then as that Dome lineup was being formed, I'm just like, I'm not really all that interested in this to pay, you know, nearly $10 for it, which yeah. I guess is a lot.
Understood. Anything else to talk about from Raw, I guess? That you feel like, I feel like we started at Raw, mowed through most of SmackDown, went off kilter with the Wrestle Kingdom talk. And I guess we mentioned Omos already, so there was that. Do we want to talk about Lacey Evans' crotch being fanned on national television?
I can talk about Lacey Evans' crotch all day. you know, there were good stuff about that. The problem was three times during the course of Raw, champions lost a non-title match.
Oh.
Two of them to a crucifix, and the other one to a roll-up. So essentially the same finish three times.
Yes.
So we can set up title matches down the road.
It's a little too predictable, to say the least.
Yeah, I think I ran on that rant the last show I did 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And they got me. It really got me good for my return. Yeah. See, well, but hey, we were asking who could possibly beat Charlotte and Asuka. I guess the answer is Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans. I, 2 weeks into her return, Charlotte's already doing jobs. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that part. I guess I'm a fan of, if you're running with Lacey and Peyton as a tag team, I'm going to set aside the why didn't you keep Peyton and Billie Kay as a tag team talk for another show. Or consider it an already covered topic, one of the two. If you're gonna run with them, it is champs. Like, I guess I don't mind that part. I would rather those belts be off of women that can be in the main events of your women's singles division, which, while maybe not as stacked as NXT per se, certainly has enough bodies to go around, I still think, to be a very good women's singles division, and it hasn't, been focused on a whole lot.
No, and Asuka really doesn't have an opponent for a Royal Rumble. Charlotte's, declared for the Rumble, and then so is Nia Jax, and Shayna Baszler lost to Dana Brooke for no reason. Another roll-up finish, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the most recent
Actually, it may have been another crucifix, actually. That may have been the third crucifix of the night. Oh my God, this is ridiculous.
yeah, it was not a good night for a variation in the pinfalls. One
No,
way
it was not.
even if that was not a crucifix, that's still not
No. No, it's
the
not. Asuka has no opponent for the Royal Rumble. I you could just imagine you could have Shayna choke out both Dana and Mandy, and then we're off to the races. But nope, that's not what we got.
yeah, it's a weird world on Raw. Because I thought it was really weird to not try and credit Matt Riddle directly with the fake tap out to get Lashley to stop and then to go directly to his pinfall. Like, they kind of questioned it. It really would have worked better because he's got to play a big idiot. It doesn't lend itself to him being a sneaky, what would you call that? Cheat, the Eddie Guerrero. Why am I forgetting it? Lie, cheat, and steal. I had the order wrong. I was trying to put cheat first, and it completely fucked me up.
Yeah, Matt Riddle should not be
But
outsmarting people.
yeah, like they put him into the wrong position for him to be outsmarting people. I do think that's what should have happened in that match, but character-wise, it doesn't really fit. So that was kind of strange.
Right. But I just don't understand why we're dragging this out. Why couldn't that just have been the title match where Lashley wins?
Oh yeah,
I mean,
like
unless Riddle is getting the title, which, oh, jeez.
the only reason that well, yeah, A, it seems like the WWE is behind him no matter what
Yeah.
evidence or not is out there, and I am certainly not going to litigate that case, but
No,
considering
but I will litigate how much Riddle's current character annoys the shit out of me. And I will win that argument.
Well, yeah, they've again. Well, Jeremy kept on saying how much Vince's genius card has been revoked, and I guess I'll keep with it. The bro thing can work, but you can't have him doing what he's doing right now. Like, it's just he's too much of a big idiot.
I mean, trying to put myself in the shoes of if none of that other stuff, the personal stuff had happened, or if I wasn't someone who was, really online and I had no idea about it, because it's not like it became like a big mainstream news story or anything like that.
Oh.
If it did, then he would be gone. But yeah, so I was trying to put the mindset of, would this be working if none of that other stuff happened? And it's like, no. First
No.
they were obsessed with his feet. Now they're obsessed with him being a dumb stoner, like beyond dumb stoner, beyond, to, it's and yeah, the overdosing of the bro, and everything's got to be a bro pun. It's just that wasn't what he. That wasn't who he was in NXT, and I'm not as familiar with his independent work, but I assume it wasn't that either.
I would imagine not. You know, he definitely salts in a lot of bros into his conversations. And it's kind of funny, but even in his move set, like he only put bro in where I think it makes sense for the most part. I think
the bro Derek.
Yeah, bro Derek.
That's the one. That's is there another bro movie does that
the floating bro.
The floating bro. Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
And is it called the Broton instead of the Centon?
I don't know if they've done that. No,
I think they have. But anyway, I feel like it kind of ends up working when he the places that he's used it. For the most part. Yeah, he's too much of a big idiot. It's kind of terrible. Like you said, like, even if you ignore the outside noise, it's not a good character, and it is not helping him on the main roster at all. And even in a fluky win against Bobby Lashley, only to get punked out by him later, is not going to help out. And I think at that point, his dreams of facing Brock Lesnar are completely crushed.
I'm pretty sure that's already happened. At some point, he really pissed Brock off, and it's like, it will never happen, buddy.
Oh, man. I guess, is there anything to be said about, and this would really be the last topic, I would think, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin already showing cracks in the old tag team?
I absolutely hate it. I do not know why you would want to do any dissension or any break in the Hurt Business at all. Now, granted, the Hurt Business didn't start with Cedric Alexander as part of it, but he has come into his own as a member of the Hurt Business. Without the Hurt Business, neither of them really have much of a place, because they're not going to, because the one that gets booted from the group isn't going to go on like some great babyface run. I assume who would get the boot would be Shelton, who at that point is just, you know,
off TV again.
Off TV, and at his age, you know, possibly his career over. He's, and then in a year or two, they'll call him a legend.
Yeah. That is quite a possibility.
Yeah. So I knock this shit off right now.
Yeah. It just seemed crazy. It seems crazy to me. You spent all that time to establish them as a team. Only, like, I like the idea that they're going with, but I don't understand why it's not being played over a longer time period. Like, I don't care, you know, if Cedric does some little thing to piss off Shelton here and there, that's fine, you know? Go pull from the Bailey and Sasha playbook recently. At first, it's just verbal jabs. You don't need to have Cedric Alexander. Like, it was just kind of silly when Cedric Alexander was tagging back into the match on Monday.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand why they think this is necessary. Unless Shelton does want to be done. Other than that, there's no reason to do this. That would be the only way to justify it, if Shelton really is, you know, wants to be done. Otherwise, it's a bad move, you know, in killing off one of your best acts for no reason.
Yeah, and then, well, yeah, I don't think Lashley's losing the title to Riddle, so I don't think we need to worry about a complete crumbling of the Hurt Business. But it does take a big dent if we only have two and or I guess three would still work. But then you don't have the tag team titles, which is kind of strange. And really hurts the sheen on the Hurt Business. So
Right.
yeah, I guess I'm good, and I'm ready to
I'm
talk
good too. I
about,
think we. No. We hit everything pretty damn good.
So I will talk. My father-in-law always gets me a six-pack for Christmas. This year's six pack was Warped Wing and their standard IPA Gamma Bomb. It is a very tasty IPA. I believe I've been on record saying not always the biggest fan because it can be a little bit piney, a little bit bitter, and not as much floralness as I tend to prefer in my hops. But this one is another one of those IPAs that strikes a nice balance. Like there's a little bit of a floral element to it. There's a nice little bitter component to it. It has a little bit of sweetness from the malt. So yeah, this is definitely one of my preferred, easy to get. Again, this is another one that's shipped all over the great state of Ohio. Warped Wing. They're out of Dayton, Ohio, so not a Columbus beer this time around, but very good nonetheless. So I would say that is the Bell Time beer of the week. I'm at DeFrango 11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever else you can. Go ahead, download us, listen to the show, and give us any reviews, and have a good night.